Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. Cliff Inico is our guest. He's the author of the eBay Marketing Bible. He's also an attorney, a business attorney, and he helps a lot of folks out there who are trying to put their best foot forward in the marketplace. And Cliff, welcome back. One of the things I know that you've done is help people make the decision about how to acquire another company.
Yep, exactly.
There are at least a couple of ways to technically do that. Talk to us about that.
Before I say that, though, let me sort of tell your listeners something about this. Right now, I'm seeing actually a very interesting change in how people are buying businesses these days. Up until last year, I was seeing nothing but what we call asset sales. There's two ways you can buy a business. You can either buy an ownership of the business. You can buy stock if it's a corporation. You can buy a membership interest if it's an LLC. You can buy a partnership interest if it's a partnership. Or you can buy the assets. Mm-hmm. Of the company. The old company.
And then, folks, there is a very important reason for the distinction. Go ahead, Cliff.
Correct. Up until recently, everybody was doing asset sales because asset sales very strongly favor the buyer for two reasons. Number one, when you buy the assets of a business, you don't assume any of the liabilities of that business.
It dies with the end of that corporation, doesn't it?
It stays with the previous owner. It stays with the seller, exactly. It's his problem. So if you've got, you know, 100,000 in trade payables and I just don't want to assume those, I don't have to assume those. That's mm-hmm. your problem. You pay them out of the proceeds of sale or whatever.
Or if there's a contingent liability out there, some latent lawsuit or
somebody
something hanging
fell
around
the day before
there.
The closing, they didn't tell you about it. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. That's not your that is
because
as you
kids
say nowadays, that is so not your problem.
Because you bought the assets, not the stock.
Right, exactly. It's not your problem. The only liabilities you assume are those you expressly agree to assume. So, for example, if you're buying a retail store with a great location, you're definitely going to assume that lease
mm-hmm.
because you want
right.
to stay in that location.
Right.
You get to pick and choose. You know, talking about being in control, you get to pick and choose with an asset sale what you want to buy. The second thing about buying a company in an asset sale is you get what they call a step up in basis. So what that means is that the purchase price of the company is whatever you paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And that sets the price going forward. So if you buy a business today for $200,000, you sell it 3 years from now for $300,000, you only have to pay capital gains tax on the $100,000 increase,
right.
not the full
$300,000. Mm-hmm.
I'm simplifying something.
Right.
If there are any CPAs in your audience, they're wincing right now because this is highly technical stuff. But that's the basic. Those are the basics.
Well, you establish the basis whenever you buy it. That is your basis of ownership.
That's
and of course, if any of those assets are depreciable, and you've depreciated them down to $180,000, then you pay the tax on that 20 plus the 100.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
So up to now, people have been doing asset sales. But what's happening, Jim, and it's very interesting, is I'm seeing more and more people doing stock sales. Now, stock sales are not as beneficial to the buyer.
Right.
They actually favor the seller. You know, when you buy this, I'm talking about stock, but when I talk about stock, I'm talking about buying the ownership interest in a business.
Right, the private
company.
We're talking private companies.
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Not just corporations.
Not publicly held.
Exactly. When you're buying the stock of a company, two things. First of all, you take the entire balance sheet as it is. You know, assets, liabilities, contingent liabilities,
yeah.
whatever on that balance sheet, it becomes your headache after the closing. That's why it's very important
right.
in a deal
why,
like that.
Why are you seeing that an increase in that?
Well,
think.
Because there are some times when buying stock actually makes sense. Let's say, that, for example, that the business has a license, let's say a liquor permit or a firearm sales
right.
permit, that is not by law transferable. You cannot
transfer
it. And
it's owned by the corporation, not by the individual.
Right.
If it were
exactly.
owned by the individual, they could convey that to you as an asset. But if it's tied up in the corporation, you're going to need to have that.
Exactly. And if the license cannot be transferred, if you do an asset sale, the seller's got to give back the old permit, and you got to go out and get a new one
right.
from scratch, which can be a very painful
right.
process.
It may be impossible.
It may be impossible.
It may be
very true.
Also grandfathered, right? If there's some kind of real estate issues that are grandfathered. That's another example where there's some city planning codes that building was grandfathered in and it's owned by that was issued to a corporation. That would be another reason.
That'd be another reason as well. Yeah. People, a non-conforming use.
Yeah.
Also, too, let's say that the company has been around for 50 years. It's built up a huge amount of very good positive credit history on this. Its tax ID number, its EIN. You do not want to change that EIN at all. You want to keep that EIN for banking and other purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and you lose when you sell assets. The new company has to get a new EIN. So you're starting all over from scratch.
Tell the audience what an EIN is.
Federal tax identification number. They call it an employer's identification number, mm-hmm. or EIN. But you don't have to have employees to have one. It's basically a social security number for a business.
Right.
Just like your own social security
tax
number.
Tax ID number is also called, I think. Is it,
yeah, that's right.
Is it
tax
same
ID,
thing?
TIN.
Yeah.
They're starting to use that now, which makes a lot more sense because
mm-hmm.
I always have to explain to people why do they call it an EIN if it's a TIN. I mean, you know, the government is all about the alphabet. You know that.
But the main thing is, folks, would it be appropriate to say, Cliff, that your default attitude should be towards assets, purchasing assets. But don't be foreclosed from thinking about the stock, but only if there's a strong, compelling reason.
Right. Unless there's a compelling reason to do otherwise, you should be going for an asset sale. Hey, you know the first rule of business is that Jim, the golden rule of business, right?
Go ahead.
You know what the golden rule of business is?
What?
He who has the gold makes the rules.
Exactly.
Okay? You're the one, when you're buying a business, especially a business where the seller's anxious to sell, you're the one with the gold, so
That's
you
right.
should be the one to get the deal that you want.
When we come back after these messages, we're going to talk about another kind of a transaction that Cliff has been tracking. How about a franchise that you might be considering? Should you be considering that? Right after these messages, 10 till. Cliff Inico is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.